Hey, good morning, guys. Welcome to my daily video. Hey, today I'm going to answer a question somebody asked me yesterday about how important is doctrine? Is doctrine something that's important to our Christian walk? But hey, if you're new to my YouTube videos, why not hit the subscribe button down there, give this video a thumbs up and share it with your friends and check out some of the links there below as well. Good. Today is Wednesday. I am in my office here. Church is nice and quiet, so I'm doing some work in my office here, preparing a couple of messages for the weekend. This coming weekend, I'm going to be speaking on victory over sin, how to live above sin, which is a really important thing. For the whole month of October, I'm speaking about, speaking about how to lay really good foundations for our walk with God so that we're not blown about by storms and by different things that attack us. I love living in a steady state place with God, where we're not blown about by the winds and arrows of outrageous fortune, where we always have a good day, where we always know that God loves us, where we always live in victory. And I've drank the Kool-Aid. I believe it's really possible to live there. So that's what's going on in my day today. It is amazing here in New England. I don't know if you can see this, but the leaves are turning here. It's probably not going to focus. But yeah, so. Hey, somebody asked me a great question yesterday. And I think maybe with some of you, you know, I've been following the Supreme Court hearings this week, which are, I think, are important things. And, you know, somebody asked me the question about Judge Barrett and her Catholicism. It seems like she's a Roman Catholic, but somebody really born-again Roman Catholic and one who's filled with the Holy Spirit. She's part of a church group that believes in prophecy and tongues and things like this, which is great. And somebody asked me the question, how important is doctrine? And I thought I'd go there for a few minutes today. So let me try and unpack that. I think actually doctrine is really great. Doctrine's really cool. Doctrine gets a bad rap, a bad reputation in the kind of churches, not my church here, but the kind of stream of churches I'm in, charismatic churches where we love experiencing God. And I think what happens so often is people in a spirit-filled church will look at doctrine and think, oh, you know, rules and regulations about God. And the important thing is to feel God, and the important thing is to experience God. And that is, there's much truth in that point of view. But I think doctrine is also really, really important. And yet it's good that we understand what it is, what it's there for. It's good that we understand the limitations of doctrine, but also the limitations. It's like we should limit what doctrine will do, but doctrine should limit what we will do as well. And doctrine is just simply our understanding of the things of God, our definition, if you will, of the faith once received. So what is a doctrine? A doctrine is a, if you will, an idea, a little piece of truth about God that we either the Bible's quantified or set down, or that the church over time has looked at and said, this is what we understand to be true. And, you know, what is a doctrine? If we were to talk about the Trinity, the idea that there is a Father, a Son, and a Spirit who are both completely one, and yet they're distinct. They're not three separate people. They're one person, but three in one. And I know that's hard to explain, but that's something we believe. What's a doctrine? A doctrine is, you know, the idea that God became a man, that Jesus wasn't just a prophet teaching about God. He was God manifest in the flesh, fully God and yet fully man. A doctrine would be something like the resurrection, where we would say, you know, we believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, not in some, he wasn't raised as an idea, not in some spiritual metaphysical way. He was physically, his body, which was dead, was raised from the dead. And again, often the problem is somebody comes from, you know, I'll own it, the kind of background I'm in, and say, well, I just love God and God's impacted my life and Jesus is the center of my life. I've given my life to him and I don't get all of this doctrine and people arguing over ideas and I just want to love God. And can we go to heaven? Can we have a relationship with God without having all these doctrines? And I would say, yes, we can, to a point. I think even if you don't understand good doctrine, if you come to God and in repentance and call on him, he will save you. God does not save us because we have all of our doctrine correct. But incorrect doctrine will lead us and will lead others away from God. Let me say that again. So bad doctrine won't stop you getting to God, but bad doctrine will lead you away from God, and it will actually stop you leading others to Christ, and it will stop you walking with God. So I think doctrine is actually really important. So, you know, if no matter how poor your understanding of God is, yes, when you call on him, he's there and he will answer you. But if we're taught bad doctrine, if we're beginning to believe bad doctrine and put our faith in bad doctrine, that can really lead us away from God, and that can lead others away from God. So if I were to, this is an example, okay, I don't do this, but if I were to teach people, hey, you don't need to repent of sin, that's a bad doctrine. Now, if somebody believes that and they don't come to God in repentance, that's going to affect their eternal destiny, their relationship with God. If I were to teach people that, you know, God moved in power, tongues, prophecy, healing was valid in the first century, and has all passed away at the end of the first century magically, even though the Bible doesn't mention that, and it's no longer valid, that's a bad doctrine. Now, if a church, and there are many of them here in America, would teach that false, heretical doctrine, what will happen? Somebody will come to Christ, they'll get born again, and then they will run away from the valid expressions of Holy Spirit that he wishes to live out in their life. And it will cause them defeat. It will cause them not to live the Christian life that God wants them to live. It'll cause them to live in Acts chapter 1 rather than living in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 and onwards. So doctrine has consequences. Let me give you something that's really helped me over the years and I think would help you as well. Let me set this out. I think I like to look at doctrines in three levels, in three ways. I think there are what theologians sometimes call primary doctrines, first order doctrines. There are second order, secondary doctrines. And then there are third order or tertiary, means third. Third level doctrines. And why three? I think it's possible to make three really good distinctions between doctrines. And I would look at it this way. I would say there are first order, primary, level one doctrines, which if you don't agree about them, you are technically unorthodox. You're technically actually in heresy. It doesn't mean you're not born again, but it means, frankly, you shouldn't be teaching anybody. You need to be rebuked. So when a church stops believing in the very basic first order things, and by that I mean the existence of God. God created all things, the fall of man, the deity of Jesus, the redemptive work of Christ on the cross, the virgin birth, the resurrection, the second coming, man's need of personal salvation. Some of those are basic foundational things that if you remove those, if you were in my church and you didn't agree with those, I would either tell you to leave or I'd tell you, please don't share these ideas with anybody else. You can come and listen and learn and repent, but you're not welcome to teach those things. Those are non-negotiable doctrines. So first level and non-negotiable. There are some second order, secondary doctrines, and I would look at these like, for me, these are things like the baptism in the Holy Spirit, healing, hearing from God. Can a Christian drink alcohol? Makeup, you know, lots of things like this, which are not, they're not salvation issues. The issues around which Christians can genuinely disagree, okay? So I know people who were genuinely born again and don't believe in speaking in tongues. I think they're absolutely 100% wrong, and I can prove that in the Bible, and yet I know that they are born again. We agree on the first level doctrines, but we would disagree on the second one. So second level doctrines, those are the doctrines around which we fellowship. So I would say this, if you were in my church and you disagree with those doctrines, again, I would say to somebody, you can come to my church, but don't Don't try to teach. We're going to function in these doctrines. And if you disagree with these second level doctrines, we're going to keep butting heads, because every week we're going to speak in tongues. Every week we're going to prophesy. Every week we are going to do certain things. And those doctrines are not essential to salvation, but they're essential to the functioning of a church. So there are some second level things that I think are really important, but I would say you're not in heresy, you're not unorthodox, you're not a, you know, it's okay if we can disagree about some of those things. And then I would say there are third level doctrines. And by those, I mean things like, again, now for me, the second coming is a first level doctrine. I think Jesus is coming again, but how and when and in what order he comes, to me, is a third level doctrine. Now, to some people, that's a second level. I am okay with having people in my church who believe there's going to be a rapture and the church escapes tribulation. I'm okay with people who believe, no, we're going through some tribulation. I'm okay with people who believe, no, the tribulation refers to what happened in 70 AD and have more of a kingdom than a religious concept of the second coming. Shows where I be. So here's my point. I look at that as something that I'm okay with Christians disagreeing with. And it's not something which disbars us from fellowship. You know, if people want to argue over whether there are dogs and cats in heaven, I don't mind. If people want to argue over who Melchizedek was and, you know, some things like that, I don't mind. So those are kind of third level things at which, frankly, it's not an issue. And I think having that understanding, level one, level two, level three, are really important things. So, you know, let me begin where I ended there. I lived for France in many years, some of you know. And in France, I have many friends, I still do to this day, who are born again, spirit-filled Catholics. And I would go to my Catholic friends, and I know they are as born again as I am. I mean, they have the same testimony as I do, that they came to Jesus and called on him. And, you know, when you talk to them, it's obvious they're born again. And I know many of them who have a Pentecostal, charismatic, third wave, whatever you call it, experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and worshiping God or whatever. I would radically disagree with them about doctrine. Now, I don't mind, again, for me, things like praying to Mary, believing that Mary is, you know, a deity or the mother of God, I think those are heretical. I think those are first level doctrines that I radically disagree with. I can have a level of fellowship with my Catholic friends, my Catholic brothers and sisters who are truly born again and spirit filled. But at the same time, I want to be honest with them and say, you know, what I've usually seen with my Catholic friends is they'll go to a spirit filled prayer meeting on, let's say, a Wednesday evening and enjoy God. But in the church they go to on Sunday, usually, there are exceptions, but usually in those churches, they're not living out the same thing in Mass on a Sunday morning. They're not preaching, repent, you must be born again. They're not preaching, be filled with the Spirit on Sunday. So there's usually like a subculture within that exists there. And I love those guys. I walk with them. I've worked with them to a measure. But I can't work with them 100%. So let me wrap this up. I think doctrine's really important, but it's not a gun to shoot people with. And I think we need a measure of humility that says all of our doctrine is wrong. So here's my point. If somebody would come to me and say, Graham, do you agree with Catholic doctrine? I don't. But I don't agree with most Protestant doctrine. In the town in which I live, in the area in which I live, 80% of the Protestant churches don't believe in salvation, don't preach a need of personal salvation. Most of the churches would be okay with, you know, gay marriage, lots of transgender bathrooms, lots of different things like this that I would be radically against. Not against the people, I'm just against the teaching. So my point is, I don't believe in Catholic doctrine per se, but I don't believe in Protestant doctrine as well. I think within those groups, there are followers of Jesus, and there are just people who follow the club doctrine within both groups. So doctrine, yes, it's really important. I think doctrine is like the, what are they called? On a highway, there are usually these barriers set up either side of the highway, on the outside or the inside. And in a way, those barriers are there to keep you safe. They're there to keep you on the highway. If you did fall asleep at the wheel or swerve, your car would kind of bounce into them and bounce back. And here's my point. If you're driving on the highway, there's some wiggle room. You can be in the fast lane or the slow lane. You can move around a little bit. You're supposed to stay in your lane, but there's a bit of wiggle room in and out between those things. And I think doctrine is there to keep us safe in our walk with God. Doctrine are there to say there are some lines which we should not cross. And that's an important thing. So we don't worship doctrine. We worship God, number one. Number two, we should realize all of our doctrines we know in part, we see in part. Nobody's got perfect doctrine. Jesus is perfect doctrine. Okay, the person of Jesus is perfect. Doctrine is not Jesus. Doctrine is my understanding of Jesus. And I'm a man and I hang out with imperfect people. So all of our understanding is imperfect. And yet it's necessary we have that. Boom. Hope that helps you guys. If you have any questions, put them in the comments below. I'd love to try to get back to you there. So, hey, Walk with God. If you're in Massachusetts this evening, my friend John Marr is speaking at our midweek service. This coming Sunday, I'm going to be in Sturbridge Worship Center preaching on victory over sin. And we have a public outreach, an event in Norwalk on the Common in Norwalk, Connecticut at 4 p.m. Sunday afternoon.